Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It's hour number one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We are 29 hours from kickoff. Cowboys-Lions, the pregame show tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock. So we got a full five with you today to talk about the Cowboys, the Mavericks, the Stars, maybe some baseball as the winter meeting's getting fired up there. So a lot of fun stuff going on. General at your service, Eddie's. There's Broadus, the former Cowboy Scout, Super Bowl champion. Got Lucius Alexander in the Pimp Cup over here, Master Controls at 75 and 635, fixing to go five flawless. Wolchuk and Chia follower here. Carter Freeman is just outside in the bullpen. He's coordinating your video. You can watch us at 105thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. Just got you the news there during crosstalk. Trayvon Diggs is out for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be a backbreaker. I mean, their defense has been okay against what I think is going to be better offenses. I don't know how long you got to cover for here with this Detroit Lions offensive line. Might have a field day with the Cowboys pass rush. Again, standing by for the Lions injury report, and we get that. We'll pass it along to you. It's big there with Penei Sewell not practicing the last 2 days. If he can't practice, it is definitely game on, not only for rushing the passer, but also striking a blow to their run game. He is one of, if not the best, run-blocking offensive tackle in the entire game.
They're a right-handed team, as we've talked about yesterday.
Yeah.
So the ball is going to go behind him. So that would be a big, big, big loss for them.
Yeah, he is an absolute monster out there on the edge. You can join Lucius and I tomorrow at Choctaw Casino for a pregame party starting at 2 o'clock. Broadus, Wolchuk, and Chia Fall be back here in studio for the pregame and your night of Cowboys football. Should be amazing. Now, I'm still very confident in Cowboy victory. I think Vegas has made a mistake. I was surprised last night with all of this injury news that the Lions were still sitting as a 3-point favorite. So I went ahead and made another bet. I bet on the Cowboys plus 3. I didn't have any money to go money line. The money line was plus 140, and it was calling my name. But I just figured, man, this thing could go closer than I want. And at that point, one score game, they're about 50-50. But Brian Schottenheimer says Jadeveon Clowney, we're going to take it up to game time.
Yeah.
And see, as a veteran, he has earned that right. So people are interpreting that as not being optimistic about Jadeveon Clowney. What are you hearing about him, Brian?
Yeah, that's coach is telling you the truth. I know yesterday we kind of visited about it. It was going to be, he did this in the Raiders game, but it was his neck and shoulder that then he ended up playing in the game. He was okay against Kansas City, and then now he's got the hamstring. So you're dealing with that. So this is big. They need his presence as an edge setter.
Yeah.
Especially if we, again, talk about with
Sewell.
Yeah, yeah. You're going to need somebody that's going to be able to play with some power over there, play with some length. That's the one thing that he has been able to do. We've seen some pass rush from him. I mean, old man Clowney has done a pretty damn good job for you.
Yes.
And so him not being in the lineup, if that was the case, then that's, now you're looking at Sam Williams and Fowler and, Houston and guys like that to have to pull the slack.
He is experienced playing through injuries. Malik Hooker was limited as well, and he's going to be questionable. But Guyton joining Diggs in the out department for tomorrow as well. Here's why. Here's the main reason I'm a little bit uneasy, though. I think they'll be fine if Sewell doesn't play without Clowney, but and I'd be surprised if Sewell's going to play. But the Lions are having a look in the mirror week here. And they might try some different stuff. Are you guys seeing this? The defensive coordinator, Kelvin Shepard, was asked this week if they're going to change anything. Because the criticism is you guys don't have the personnel to play as much man as you do. Right? Yeah. You're not getting to the passer. You have like one sack, I think, in the last month, something like that. He says, obviously, we haven't affected the quarterback at the rate that we were earlier in the year. There's things that we're going to switch up a little bit by personnel and schematically. But at the end of the day, you're starting to get November, December, and players make plays. So he did, you know, point the finger at the players a little bit. But I don't know how different this is going to be. And if they try the same game plan that they've been doing throughout the year, I think the Cowboys are going to get really good protection for Dak Prescott. They're going to torch this man defense. But if they switch it up and throw a curveball at the Cowboys that confuses them and you don't get off to a hot start and they're running the football, I think – you know, that could be interesting. What do you think about the idea of the Lions flipping the script schematically and personnel-wise coming into this game? It might be desperation and they'll fall on their face, or, you know, it might give them some things that you haven't seen that you can't be ready for.
I just don't know health-wise. I mean, now you lose one of your starting corners. I mean, really, what are you going to be able to do with this? I mean, I think that, you know, the players here – it is desperation. Like, offensively, I feel like you're going to see some trick plays. I mean, they already are a team that's going to go for it on fourth down. You're probably going to have to be open to all the possibilities. But on defense, it's like, man, you're going into, what is it, week 13, week 14, and now yeah. You're trying to change stuff up. That and it's still, it's not like you have an added week. You know, this is a normal week, and you're just coming off a short one. So for Kelvin Shepard to try and be installing this, I think this is more maybe trying to Band-aid over some losses that they have in personnel than it is going to be, man, we're really going to confuse Dallas with some weird coverage disguises yeah. And things.
Well, no, what they're going to do is they play a ton of base defense, and their way to get into defense 11 personnel is they'll bring in a defensive lineman instead of, and they'll take a defensive back off the field. So they're trying to get some, maybe be a little bit better against the run, but they have some guys that can actually play in coverage. I wouldn't be surprised if they flip this thing. Yeah. I don't see them, you know, when you
play, they're giving up so many big plays.
Yeah,
right? They're stopping the run.
The thing about it is in the secondary.
Yeah, when they're not getting pass rush, it's hard to ask somebody to cover for three and a half seconds, man, coverage wise. So what they're going to try and do now is I think their adjustment for you is they're going to keep the defensive back on the field against 11 personnel and not substitute that defensive tackle. It makes – or the end, what makes them kind of have that five-man line look is what they have, and I don't think they're going to do that. They really like to rush four, and they want – if they bring pressure, they'll bring in – like they'll mug a linebacker up or something like that. But this is a crew that, like I say, they will play you with their base defense majority of the snaps. I don't think they'll do that with you against the Cowboys.
Yeah, dude, they're allowing the longest average time for opposing quarterbacks to throw a football at an unheard of rate at this time of the era, I guess, 2.99 seconds. Quarterbacks are getting nearly 3 full seconds to pass back there on average. They've given up 600 passing yards and That's 7 terrible. Passing touchdowns the last 2 weeks combined. So they're going to try to mitigate that. I think it will probably open up significantly better running opportunities for you.
That's what they want to do, yeah.
Yeah. You know, going into this game, looking at it statistically, it's like maybe this isn't a Javonte Williams 125-yard game, but maybe it is. You know, if they're going to go away from what the one thing that's been working in hopes of cutting off the big plays, I think you go ahead and let them do that and just run it right down their throats all night. Okay, we are on the hockey games as well. Stars fell in New York, overtime loss, so at least they picked up a point. Vladislav Gavrikov scored over a minute into overtime. Mm. Also, the player who fell on Tyler Seguin 1 minute into the game had to be helped off the ice with some a leg injury that has now been reported as an ACL.
Yeah. Yeah, he's out for the year.
Really weird how the leg got stuck between his legs and then kind of pinned his ankle. It almost mm-hmm. looked like a jiu-jitsu hold of some kind that John Oning would put on some dude to make him tap. And you saw Sagan's knee just kind of buckle there a little bit, and you're like, is that enough? To me, maybe it looked like a hyperextension or a sprain or something like that, but apparently it's significantly worse. And this thing, if it is a torn ACL, that's automatically season-ending. I mean, there's no way you would want to. So I just don't know at this point if they have the draft picks to make the trades to add the payroll.
Right.
But, you know, they really went for it last year, and I would say as good as this season is going along for them, this team's really dang good. And if you could add, I think, what is it, an elite defenseman? Is that what you'd want right now in a trade?
A defenseman. Right now you might need another wing to add, you know, to your top six core here. But I think you're always hunting defense if you're the Stars. Now, they've been a better defensive team this year, but they've also had, you know, the injuries. Now, you got Bischel out 6 to 8 weeks. Lyubushkin's been missing time. Lundqvist is hurt again. That guy just can't seem to stay healthy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you could get another wing or a defenseman, I'd absolutely be in on it. I mean, a lot of NFL people or NHL people have mentioned a reunion with Mason Marchment. Like, if Seattle's out of contention, then you're cutting his salary in half. You're paying about $2 million for a player that they like, obviously, in Dallas, and he's best buddies with Jake Ottinger. So do you see a reunion with Mason Marchment? Maybe. I just thought Mush was pretty darn bad in the playoffs last year, but maybe a reset going somewhere else for half a season, coming back, that could end up rejuvenizing him a little bit. But it'll be interesting to see what Jim Neal does.
Okay, Mavs are back in action tonight. They're going to host the Heat. Cooper Flagg, reigning Western Conference Rookie of the Month. Congrats to him. Last 10 games been very encouraging. He's been great. The most encouraging thing at the moment, though, is probably the combination of Nembhard and Anthony Davis and what they've done the last two games, two of their best three offensive outings. So it looks to be a significantly more viable team. This could mess up the draft pick significantly. Two of their really biggest issues have been mitigated here with post defense and with an actual floor general, and leave it to the rookie out of Gonzaga to be the smartest court IQ player when it comes to running a team that the Mavs have. D'Angelo Russell benched, yeah. You know, probably the best move Jason Kidd has made all season. But the Anthony Davis trade watch, we do have about 60 days to go until the trade deadline and things kind of heat up. He is a bit of on a minutes restriction and not playing back-to-backs, but, you know, I'm a team tanker through and through. I've been through this rodeo many times. I accept the potential downside to it, but with the Mavs not having control of their draft picks after this coming summer for a long time, this is your best opportunity to get a young co-star on the same timeline. So I don't know how you approach that, but I think the idea of, hey, let's make a run and get Kyrie Irving back, that's a very dangerous idea right now, and I trust that Mark Cuban is attempting to thwart that at every turn. Like, we really got to look at this. We can't have any more 30-13 games from Anthony Davis if we want to execute this tank properly.
Yeah, it's a fine line, because you want to see those to keep upping the trade value and showing that he's healthy and still a super productive player. But yeah, every win that you get right now, you know you're not a championship contending team. Like, is this just going to result in a play-in situation, and then you've played yourself out of the type of pick that this team really needs right now from a big picture standpoint? So it is a little bit of a tough balance right now.
Yeah, I think you're in a little bit of trouble. If I was a pro scout for another team, and you thought, well, okay, now he's healthy and they're benching him when he's looking, I'm not trading with you. I'm not trading. I'm going to make you play him. And I don't know how many games. I don't know if it's like 10, 15 games. I need him to play that stretch in order, if I'm going to tell my general manager or my director of basketball operations, hey, we need to make a trade for this guy.
Yeah.
Because the minute they sit him, then I'm kind of thinking like, I'm not going to give you the value for what you think. I don't know. There's an unknown here. I need to see him play. So I think the Mavs are in a little bit of a rock and a hard place when it comes to how much do you show him, and if you show him enough, could you even get better draft value for him?
I'd say back in the line, we're just rejuvenizing him. Yeah. You know, we're keeping him fresh for you.
Yeah.
We don't you know Anthony Davis probably doesn't have any more than 65 good games in him in any calendar
sure.
year. So we don't want to use these up. You're going to need him for the playoffs, big dog.
Yeah, you don't want us to waste.
No, that's the argument. Yeah. I would say I just wonder if other general managers around the league are looking at this like, okay, Dallas finally got him healthy, now they're shelving him.
Yeah.
You know, where I need to see him play. You know, of a week of three games, I need him to see him play two games at least, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and I would totally get that. And, you know, it would be great if we could showcase him like that for you. But the other thing I really didn't want to mention on the phone with you here, Mr. GM, is we're also tanking.
Yeah.
And this guy is so freaking amazing.
Yeah.
Maybe a top 10 player in the game,
yeah.
you know. So if we put him in there, we might go on a 10-game heater. Next thing you know, we're looking at, you know, best case scenario, we're eighth or ninth in the draft lottery. And you know that.
So as yeah. Let me ask you there, Mr. General Manager
yes,
guy.
Sir. Yeah.
Well, why would you not play him then? You're saying you're going to tank, but if you feel like that maybe you can win with this guy, why don't you try and win with him?
Well, because as you know, he's injury prone. You know, I'm not here to BS you, Mr.
Okay.
GM. He's injury prone, and we're trying to keep him fresh as possible for you
yeah.
to, you know, reap whatever other benefits you can. So there's no hiding from that reality. But, you know, we got a couple of things going on. And between him and Kyrie Irving coming off an ACL, we just don't believe the championship window is there for us. So we're going long term.
Okay.
Appreciate the call. And I'm going to call your top rival right now, see if they want Anthony.
Yeah, do they want him? Shop him around.
Jeff Rieger is a Lions reporter for 97.1 The Ticket in Detroit. We're still refreshing and Googling and Twitter searching here to see if we can get this Lions injury report.
We're trying hard. They're not posting it, aren't they?
Man Campbell, gamesmanship.
Playing coy.
Cowboys injury report is out. We got the G-Bag of the Day champ on the other side. Then Wolchuk's top 10 at 220, buddy. Where are you taking it?
Is this the end for Chris Paul? Let's go a trip down memory lane. The best number threes in sports history. That's next in the...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nation.
Shoot, yeah, welcome back. It's the G-Back Nation here on the Fan. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. It's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Wolchuk's top 10 here in just a minute. Jeff Rieger, Lions reporter, coming up in 18 minutes. Here's Lucius in the Pimp Cup with the champ.
Big Snoop Dogg. Our winner and champ so far comes from the University at Buffalo. University at Buffalo. Men's basketball team right here. Player of the week, Daniel Freitag. Hits himself a game winner right here. In the he has a broadcast in that booth. She's surfing, fam. Oh, yeah.
And they inbound this ball. Here comes Daniel. He's trying to find his way down the middle for the floater. Off the glass, and he makes it. Oh, my God. He is him.
I love it. Young broadcasters getting their cadence down.
Gives me a little bit of the old rim daddy.
Sounds like she might be cute.
Yeah.
Floater off the glass and he makes it. Oh my gosh. He is that Oh my God.
It's like, it's so monotone, but she's still, you can tell she's excited somewhere in there.
Yes, she's absolutely. Yeah. Just working on the emphasis and the stuff. All right, the champ faces challengers every night at 5:30 here in the G-Bag Nation right before you get to L.A. Live. Here's Wolchuk with his top 10 at 220.
Thank you very much. We do have some news in college football as this was reported earlier today, but it's now official as Pete Thamel of ESPN, Chris Klieman, head coach at Kansas State, has informed the team he's officially stepping down.
A&M might lose their offensive coordinator then, huh?
Yep. They are going to turn their sights to Colin Klein, who, of course, was a quarterback there, Heisman Trophy finalist for Kansas State back in 2012. He looks like the front runner to slide in and replace Chris Klieman there at Kansas State. So that'd be a blow for the Aggies, as Colin Klein's done an excellent job there.
He has.
Really done a good job.
Yeah,
their
film's fun to watch.
That offense has been humming this year. So just a lot of craziness going on. We'll get some more college football talk. And in the NBA, this came out during our opening segment, but you know, we had already seen some reports. I know Wendy made some news that, like, Giannis had already requested a trade a while back with the Bucks, but you have now Shams Charania reporting that Giannis and his agent, Alex Saracis, have started conversations. Is it Saracis?
Sounds right to me.
There's like an extra T in there, so it's got me really leaking confidence here. Saratsis. Should be Saracis, but then that T has
Saratsis?
Me. Saratsis? I like Saratsis. We're going to go with Saratsis here. But they've started conversations with the Milwaukee.
Sounds like a dragon slayer, by the way.
Yeah. Saratsis?
Or maybe a name of a dragon.
Yeah, dude, that would be a dragon.
He's learned how to tame Saratsis.
Send him out there. Yes. Send the Saratsis. But they're possibly going to move him. And the Knicks, I think, are a team that Giannis has talked about being open to going to. We'll talk more NBA a little bit later. Actually, let's just do it right now because I've got the top 10 best athletes that have ever worn number 3. And this is in honor of Chris Paul. I don't know if his career's over. Maybe there's another team that says, hey, we'll bring you in for this year. But the Clippers said bye-bye. I guess Chris Paul was just annoyed with what's going on in L.A. and how bad they are. And they just decided, you know what, we're going to rip this Band-Aid off. We're just going to part ways. And, you know, congratulations on a long career. I think a lot of people have not enjoyed Chris Paul. And if you ended up watching that clip series on Hulu, Chris Paul, he was featured in that. I thought the guy that played Chris Paul was kind of a joke, did not look like him at all. But, yeah, I mean, some of the things that he's done in his career, not always the biggest fan of.
A lot of opponents hated him. A lot of coaches hated him. A lot of teammates hated him. But he was a basketball genius for a long time.
He was fantastic. He was. Yeah. In L.A., when he first got there after the trade from the Hornets, him and Blake Griffin, Lob City. I mean, that was so much fun to watch. DeAndre Jordan, they were awesome. But, I mean, the typical Doc Rivers years where you get up 3-1 and then you're not able to come through.
Yeah, but think about how they won those three games, though.
But those three games.
Like, think about how good we were to just even get to that point.
You're
people
right.
lose sight of that.
Dawson, do you feel like that the commissioner's office hurt his career by not letting him get traded to the Lakers?
I suppose they did, because he never won a championship, did he?
No.
Wow.
Never won.
Yeah, you know, I thought there was a good 7-8 year stretch where he was the best point guard in the game, and you know, his defense, his ability to, you know, improve his jump shot as he got older, but set other guys up and just run an offense. He was a terrific player. I don't know if he's the best number 3 though. You got a lot of good ones.
This is all sports, right? This is not just
all
the
sports.
NBA.
This is okay. All sports. So of course, George Pickens got to be number 1.
Pickens has to be up there, and I will say, like the Shams report, when you talk about him not being very likable. I don't know if this is more of an indictment on him or just the Clippers, because he says, like, Chris Paul and his leadership style clashed with the Clippers. He's been vocal in holding management, coaches, and players accountable, which the team felt became disruptive. Mm. Ty Lue, the head coach, was not on speaking terms with Chris Paul for several weeks. Wow. So I don't know if that's Chris Paul, like, advocating for himself to get more minutes because he's just been sitting on the bench, or if he's doing like the real thing of like, man, you guys are a disaster of
like,
a franchise, and they were like, well, we don't want to hear from you. They don't want the accountability.
Yeah,
I don't know.
We're team tank, and we're just not going to announce that right now because we don't want to get fined. But Chris, I mean, what do you expect? You signed here. We're doing you a favor by just employing you right now. I wonder, like, I don't know. Do you think another team would pick up Chris Paul at this stage in his career? What, is he 40 now?
Yeah, he's up there, man.
Did he play the all 82 games last year with San Antonio?
Yeah, I believe he did. And it is tough because he announced a few weeks ago that this was going to be his last year. And this is now the retirement tour that he's been gifted.
Does he still have that mid-range shot? You know, he kind of like...
I don't know what he has because you can't watch him play.
He gets in the fourth there and all of a sudden he kind of gets to a spot and he just lets it... You know,
yeah, I don't... I don't know how good he is.
I used to hate when he did that. You knew in the fourth he was going to get to a spot and he was going to shoot the ball and it was going to go in. And you're going to like, damn, somebody guard that. You know he's going to go over there and just take a shot.
Well, his field goal percentage for the season in 16 games that he's appeared in is 32.1%.
Okay, maybe he's not hitting that shot anymore.
Guess he's not hitting that shot or
many
others.
You know
what
I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. No, like
he dribbles around and he kind of...
Dances in the paint.
Shot clock's about to hit zero, and then somehow he's able to just make a swish on you, and you're thinking, what the hell? We played great defense here for 20-plus seconds, and here goes CP3 just dropping twos on us here. But, look, I don't know. I don't know if anybody else is going to give him a shot. There are some other bad teams out there. Hell, maybe the Mavericks say, you know what, we'll kick the tires on you, bring you in. You're going to help with the team tank here in Dallas. And we'll give you the opportunity to go ahead and go on your swan song here, your victory tour. But the best number threes in sports history, a lot of George Pickens texts coming in. Dale Earnhardt, greatest number three.
There you go.
From the 817. 302 says, obviously Steph Curry is the best three ever. Three-point shooter.
I see.
If you want to go with that, I like that. I like that.
Number 30. Babe Ruth.
We got
a lot of baseball players in here.
Yeah, there's a lot of baseballers. And The Babe's going to be very high on this list.
Like number one?
Dude, how about honorable mention? You've got Chauncey Billups.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, put everything aside. Man was clutch.
Talk about dump trucks.
Joe Montana at Notre Dame.
Did he have a donk on him? Did he have like one of those Kyle Lowry's?
Kyle Lowry's an honorable mention.
Oh, okay.
You knew where I was going with this. That guy was an all-timer for you. Carlos Beltran, also controversial. Derwin James. At number three, switch that number when he could. You've got Mel Ott, old school Major League Baseball player. You remember Mel Ott, Brian?
I did. I was selling programs that day when he broke into the game.
12-time All-Star World Series champ back in 33.
He used to kick his front foot up to like before he'd swing.
Were you there?
I was there.
He was there.
What about your guy, Daryl LaMonica?
Daryl LaMonica was the mad bomber for the Oakland Raiders.
Heck yeah, he was.
I'll tell you what, Daryl LaMonica, I found him. He was playing college ball. I was scouting.
He was lost and you found him?
Yeah.
He was lost.
I'm the reason why he was such a great player.
Never doubted you, Al.
Never did.
Thanks.
Steve Francis, another honorable mention.
Oh, wow. Forgot about
incredible
that
five or six-year run. He fell off a cliff hard, Britney Spears style.
I think it was right after. He was on the cover of NBA Live, Britney Spears style.
Did he get a conservatorship and everything?
Dancing with knives and stuff.
Maybe. I don't know about all that stuff. The weird eye makeup. Yeah.
Samurai bikini dances.
Like she's been crying like, with some weird mascara that starts leaking on her face. Carson Palmer, an honorable mention as well.
Heisman winner.
He was great in college, and he was really good. It seemed like he was going to have an awesome career with Cincinnati, and then he had his knee taken out. Had one good year, I think it was, with Arizona. We'll let him to the NFC Championship game. They lost to Carolina. But that was it, really. Underwhelming NFL career.
I think my guy Odell Beckham was number three at LSU.
Yes, he was.
Well, and he was 13 with the Giants.
Yeah.
Did he switch to three?
He probably did.
With the rule changes?
When he got with like the Rams and maybe the Dolphins, he was repping three.
God,
but
he was bouncing around,
He
man.
Made a name for himself in the Giants blue with the
Dolphins, 13. Ravens, Giants.
He was on the Ravens.
The Ravens as well.
He's trying. Still, nobody wants him now, and he needs money bad. I mean, I saw a video. He was selling his Super Bowl cleats.
Well, he only made $100 million.
Isn't that?
And you act like he made a buttload of money.
I mean, gosh, how were you blowing so much
he was paying.
Money?
He was paying the fines of the band at LSU. For playing Neck, that song.
He said he was spending about $4 million a year. And after taxes, it was more like $50 million. So in 10 years, he'd spent $40 million, and now he's down to his last single million.
I think he nailed it.
Alex Rodriguez was the number three before he went to 13. He's probably on the list.
No, A-Rod's going to get in.
Is Russell Wilson nine. In the list?
Russell Wilson, Russell Wilson.
Russi.
He's number eight on the list. Yes, he is. Russi's feeling nicey. Last honorable mention, though, Dale Murphy. This was
Atlanta
one of Brian's
Braves.
Favorites. Yeah. Five-time Golden Glover.
He played
lover.
With Bob Horner and Biff Poparoga.
Poparoga is one of my favorite sports names ever.
Poparoga is phenomenal.
Biff Poparoga is a catcher for the Braves.
Sounds like an amazing sandwich.
Did you love Harmon Killebrew?
Harmon Killebrew, Minnesota Twins.
Gosh, you were a big Killebrew guy.
I was.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Big man. Yeah. He was a big man.
He was big, and you like big men, and you cannot lie. Mm. Number 10 is Ben Wallace.
Oh, Ben Wallace.
Ben Wallace
he was
number
man. Three, wasn't he?
He
man,
was.
That's a menacing. That was just dude. A menacing dude.
Doesn't seem like a big man number.
But
it is.
He wore it well.
He rocked it. Four-time NBA Defensive Player of the Year, NBA All-Star. Oh, man, Ben Wallace, Big Ben.
A 6'6 center, 6'7.
Is he really that tall?
He's a rim protector.
It took him a long time to actually get his career going because just nobody believed that he could be that good.
I never realized he wasn't like a giant center.
Throwback.
He played so big.
Yeah.
I mean, his career started in 96, and it's like he didn't really start popping until probably what, like 03?
Yeah. Took him a while. Had to get in the right situation. Mm. Team committed a defense like the Pistons were. Anthony Crazy. Davis got to be on this list, right? If Ben Wallace is.
Anthony Davis, we might get to him. We might get to AD. We might not. Okay. We'll see. Number three, a lot of people are saying Luka because he was drafted third overall. Mm. And I'm here for that. I love that. 6'8", Chris Paul hasn't been good in several years. You're probably right about that. He's old, and that's why he's no longer on the team. And you, I mean, some say the same about you, bro.
Absolutely.
Number nine is A-Rod.
Nico would have snatched him up already if he'd still here. Oh, my goodness. One of the best players in the game in 2004. We'll take him.
Come on over.
He works so hard.
He fits our timeline. Uh-huh. 8 is Russell Wilson. 7 is Jimmy Fox.
Oh, Jimmy Fox, 2Xs.
Yes.
And 2Ms.
The 2X Fox.
Yeah.
2-time World Series champ.
I saw him play, too.
1933 to 1941 were his all-star years.
I was there.
Do you remember the 33 Triple Crown season?
I do. It was a day game. I remember showing up at the ball yard. I had a coat and tie on that day.
Gosh, you did. You rocked that coat.
I did.
98 degrees.
I did. It was coat. I didn't take the jacket off.
Lemon chill.
Yeah. No, you were never a jacket off guy.
Mm-hmm.
Tracy McGrady at 6.
Tracy McGrady was
a T-Mac. Absolutely, bro, with the Knicks.
Mm, he was so good. 5 is Chris Paul. So shout out to you. You come in at number 5, best number 3s in sports history. Ken Griffey Jr. at 4.
When did he wear number 3?
I thought he always wore number 24.
Cincinnati's rocking 3 here.
His dad wore 30?
Did he?
I think so.
And then number 3, we've got Allen Iverson.
Ah.
You could say Allen Iverson should be king of the 3s. I mean, if you're number 3 on the list of best number 3s, you might as well be number 1.
Guy's a hell of a football player.
2... Eric's going to take a victory lap here. The rest of DFW's going to.
That's why Abby wore number
mouth.
3. Actually, was Iverson. Her mom was a huge AI fan back in the day.
AI, so. I think, would be the best number 3.
Still is.
He's the most iconic. Like very it's handsome the one you guy. Associate.
I get
yeah.
it.
He's a handsome guy.
Yeah. He is.
For a tiny man,
he's brought the swag.
Especially now that he's lost his puffiness. You know, he quit drinking about a year ago. Yeah. He's looking good.
Oh, is
again.
That what happened?
Oh, he's looking lean.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
It was the booze. Mm. Helping you out.
That'll get you.
Wade comes in at 2. Boo. But number 1, best number 3 of all time is Babe Ruth.
I guess that
the
one.
Baby Ruth.
Iverson better than Wade, if you ask me.
Every yeah, day but Iverson. I mean, I would have knocked Wade just off the list in general.
Put George Pickens. Let's put George Pickens at 2.
Put Pickens at 2.
Sub him out.
I'd like a list one day. We'll check top 10 party guys that played well.
Okay.
Like guys that were like Rodman, or gals like or whoever.
Playmaker.
Yeah, the guys that gals Michael that Urban. Partied their rear off and they were great players.
We can work Luca. On this. I think we can absolutely work on this.
Yeah.
All righty. Jeff Rieger, Lions reporter, joining us next as we try to get to the bottom of who exactly is going to play for this Lions team tomorrow night. That's next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the nation. Thank you very much, Lucius. It's time now to talk with Jeff Rieger. He is a Lions reporter for 97.1 The Ticket in Detroit. And a good afternoon, Jeff. How the heck are you doing this afternoon?
What's going on, guys?
Hey.
I'm sure it's nice there. It's like 25 here, so the team better get ready.
Well, you know, it's about 50, but it's been in the 40s, upper 30s this week, and for us, that's very cold. So
tropical to me. I'd be golfing.
So we're trying to figure out what these injuries designations mean, like Penei Sewell and Amon-Ra St. Brown questionable for tomorrow night. Do you think they're going to play?
So Sewell, definitely. He's been dealing with an ankle for pretty much all season long, I think. And he always takes maintenance days during the week. There's no way, I don't think, that Sewell misses the game. As far as St. Brown is concerned, I guess for Lions fans, it's a positive that it's questionable instead of him being out. But Campbell said when he injured his ankle last week that he'd probably be out 1 to 2 games. I'd be kind of shocked if he plays tomorrow, but he did say if he thinks he can play, he's going to give it a shot. Campbell said the same thing. He said yesterday he didn't know, but he's going to try. So we'll see. If he does play, I don't know how effective he's going to be, though.
Now, how are the guys doing with the recent downturn and injuries? Is sentiment and confidence still high, or is this a team ready to wave the white flag on the season?
Okay, so are you talking about the players or the fans? Because I think it's two separate.
Yeah, the players mostly, the ones that matter, I guess.
I mean, the players are confident. Like, it's weird, right? Because Dan Campbell is viewed as this superhero of types. What he's done over the last couple of years, 15-2 last year, the year before that, the NFC title game, he led by 17 at the half. I think these are things that Lions fans haven't seen in 30 years. And I think people were very confident that Campbell was the guy. And then a weird thing has happened. This year, both lines have suffered. There's been injuries. They didn't replace their all-pro center, Frank Ragnow, all that effectively. And it's been the Lions that has really presented losing 4 of their last 7 games. And Campbell, all of a sudden, since taking the play calling away from John Morton, because, of course, Ben Johnson went to Chicago, and he's ripping his shirt off, getting the whole city hot dogs. It's weird because... because people don't have the same confidence in Dan Campbell, and it's not the same team. The details are off, not doing the little things. He's calling plays. It doesn't seem like he can call plays and manage the game like he effectively used to be able to. So I think the players are pretty confident that they can get a win, change everything, get back in the playoff hunt tomorrow. But I think you ask any fan, and the fan base is freaking.
If you're looking at that Lions secondary here, Jeff, I mean, Kirby Joseph ruled out, Terrion Arnold placed on IR. They're obviously banged up. So what are some of the things that you're looking at in this secondary? And are they looking to change some stuff with Kelvin Shepard? I mean, is he going to do something drastic here to try and get after Dak?
No, he says he's going to. I don't know what that's going to entail. I think the couple things you'll look at. Number one, the Detroit Lions defensive line has been brutal over the last couple weeks. Aiden Hutchinson, they paid him all kinds of money, most annual money of any player ever for an edge. He's been non-existent. In fact, he just got his worst PFF score over the last week, and I think over the last 2 weeks, he's like a 30th-ranked defensive end. So the pressure is just not there. Now, if you look at the stats, like against Green Bay on Thanksgiving, they're like, hey, you got 17 pressures against the Packers. The problem is the pressures are taking 3 seconds. The Lions are providing the most time for any quarterback to throw the football in the last 5 years, guys. It's been that bad. They have Aiden and nobody opposite of Aiden. So I would assume double-team Aiden, and I'm not quite sure who else is getting home. As far as the secondary is concerned, you see that Pickett's going to play. Obviously, CeeDee Lamb's going to play. And without Terrion Arnold, you're looking at a very small Lions secondary. So, for instance, DJ Reed is what, 5'8"? Amik Robertson is 5'8", 5'9". So you're looking at smaller corners against some pretty big, physical, great receivers. So I think if the Cowboys win this game, it's with their offense. And I think it's Dak thinking, I'm going to have all the time in the world to throw the ball, and we're simply just going to outscore you.
Jeff, where have all the explosive plays gone for the Lions on offense?
Chicago. I think that's the answer.
Yeah.
It's true.
Well, I mean, it kind of is true. So here's the deal. First of all, the injuries have hurt, right? Like, they lost Sam Laporta, who is Jared Goff's safety valve, and he's out for the season. And then the backup tight end, Brock Wright, it's kind of the most gruesome injury. It's like a larynx injury. He hurt his throat. He could be out for the season. So they're working on their third or fourth string tight end. I think you also look at the fact that the offensive line, guys, has just been a flat-out issue. Taylor Decker has been dealing with a shoulder all season long. Graham Glasgow was the center that replaced Frank Ragnow, and he's been woeful. And then I think you'll look at a right guard or rookie, Tate Ratledge, who is getting abused at times, and Coyote Awosika, the left guard, who, by the way, is questionable, might not play tomorrow. He, too, backup, getting abused. So I think it all starts with that offensive line. Go back the last couple years, right? And Ben Johnson had maybe the best offensive line in football.
Yeah.
Zeitler was there. Ragnow was there. They could do anything, as you guys saw last year when Detroit came to town and they put up over 40 on you. I think the line is gone, and thus the explosive plays are gone. Now, Jamison Williams is coming on. You saw him in the Green Bay game. I got to believe it's going to be a big JMO day tomorrow. He's electric. He's explosive. And Jahmyr Gibbs is the other one. Find a way to stop him. Runs all over that offensive line. Then you're in good shape, I guess, if you're the Cowboys. But I truly believe it's the offensive line that just hasn't been nearly as good, and thus no explosives. And, yeah, again, Ben Johnson's in Chicago, too.
Jeff Rieger, Lions reporter for 97.1 The Ticket in Detroit with us here in the Nation. How much of this season has gone sideways just because of the fourth down luck has completely swung the opposite way? That's been a staple for Campbell and these Lions, and now all of a sudden they can't seem to convert those. But they're still super aggressive.
It's what's talked about here in Detroit, like, ad nauseum, constantly. So Dan Campbell obviously got the entire league to follow him over the last couple of years. Super aggressive, went for it on fourth down always, had that offensive line. Usually they converted. Ben Johnson seemed to be a master in plays like that. Now, again, you're not the same team, but Dan Campbell, now calling plays, seemed to think that they are the same team. So I don't know if it's just the fact that he cannot help himself. Guys, a 4th-and-2 to Dan Campbell looks like a juicy steak that he just has to bite into. He says he's going to be better. He says he will dictate his aggressiveness as the game is going, but his actions show otherwise. I'll give you a prime example. They're playing the Packers on Thursday, Thanksgiving. You guys played on Thanksgiving, too. Of course, the annual games. And it's 17-14 Packers. It's the third quarter. You're looking at a 4th-and-3. It's a 3-point game. You have no Amon-Ra St. Brown. You got no Sam Laporta. You got all kinds of offensive line issues. You got Tristan Colon at center, not even Graham Glasgow. And for some reason or another, he still goes for it. And he runs Jahmyr Gibbs, and it gets stuffed. And next thing you know, the Packers are going the other way. He did the exact same thing, down 2 scores the very next quarter, which ended up screwing the Lions. So he tells the media, I'm going to be different. I'm going to have to ratchet it back. I don't think he can help himself. And that was the difference why they lost the last game. The Packers were 3-for-3 on fourth down, and the Lions were 0-for-2. Matt LaFleur became Dan Campbell of last year and came into Detroit, and it must have been a tad demoralizing to see the Packers win like that.
You talk about how much easier it is to slow down the Lions if you can pressure Jared Goff. And looking at the matchup specifically of the Cowboys' defensive tackles against the interior of that line, like, I struggle to see how Detroit's going to have a lot of offensive success. You know, maybe 20 points, maybe 23 points, but I can't see them getting in rhythm. And I can't see the Lions on the other side disrupting Dak enough to slow down their offense. So, you know, when I saw the Cowboys are +3 in this game, I'm hammering that thing. You know, do you have a strong feeling one way or another on how this thing's going to go?
So I'm totally with you because of everything you just said, and it's weird because I thought the same exact thing last week against the Packers, and yet the Lions were favored in that game as well. So is it home field equals 3 points? I don't know why the Lions are favored in this game, but I do think you hit the nail on the head. It's going to be one thing if the Lions can slow down Dak Prescott and those Cowboy receivers who have been otherworldly as of late. It's a totally different thing if Jared Goff gets off his mark. The Lions are in trouble. And that's how teams have beat Goff and the Lions over the course of the last 7 games. I think Brian Flores, the DC for the Minnesota Vikings, set the game plan like 5-7 weeks ago, whenever it was. It was a home game. The Lions lost to J.J. McCarthy. Or was he 9? Or maybe he was J.J. I'm not quite sure what he was going by back then. But they lost to J.J. McCarthy and the Vikings because that interior pressure by the Vikings up the gut made Jared so uncomfortable. He had a lousy day. And then it's almost like the blueprint is out. And then the Eagles did the exact same thing. And they made life hell on Jared Goff. And that was an outdoor game. And the Lions scored all of 9 points. And Goff was super inaccurate. So I think you hit the nail on the head. The X factor in this game tomorrow is you find a way to protect Jared Goff. He will be able to put up points and maybe hang with Dak and the Cowboys offense. But that's a big if, considering you guys have been rushing the quarterback over this last 3-game stretch, and the Lions can't protect Goff.
So our mutual friend Jake Rietma set this up, and shout out to Jake here, Jeff. But he did say, you guys go back to the Fat Patricia days, who's no longer fat. But what went down in those days that you're no longer working that post-game coverage?
It's a great question. So we did this thing called Patricia Bingo or Lions Bingo or Matt Patricia Bingo. I think it was Jake's idea, if I remember correctly. And the Lions were dreadful, man. I mean, Patricia and Quinn was the GM. They were on the verge of getting whacked. And we did this thing where if you could guess what Matt Patricia said in his post-game show, you would get points. So I think it was Jake's idea, and I don't think the Lions liked it very much, and I thought they thought we were a tad negative towards Matt Patricia and company. So it's not that we don't longer do the post-game show. It's just that other people, I guess, do the post-game show. But it was fun. I mean, you guys know how it is. When stuff is really bad, you might have a tendency to get a tad negative, and, you know, the people that work for the teams might not love it. But I think at the end of the day, we were doing our job because Patricia was an absolute disaster. And now look, he's found his way. He's the DC for the Ohio State Buckeyes, and he's still rocking the Ticonderoga #2 pencil. But I take no fault. If we got in trouble, it's Jake's fault, guys. Jake was the mastermind behind all of it.
Yep, not surprised at all.
He'll get you in trouble there. Thank you so much, brother.
Not a problem, guys. Enjoy the game tomorrow.
You too, buddy. There he goes. Jeff Rieger, 97.1 The Ticket in Detroit. Great report. Salute to you. We'll have to have him on whenever the Cowboys face the Lions in the future. Okay, we got 1 hour down and 4 to go here on your home of the Cowboys, home of the Rangers. How much the Cowboys' playoff odds will swing with a win or loss tomorrow? We'll do that next year on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
there was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.